time I get finished with this book, I should be ready to retire. We've been on it a long time, haven't we? Ephesians chapter 5, and I was going to, more or less, I've made mention of these three verses, verses 19 through 21, and I intended, more or less, to not say anything else about them, but I will this morning. I want to try to say something this morning, maybe the subject of a happy Christian. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're happy. And I don't know of any Christian, including the apostles, that were happy continually and content always. Paul said, I've learned it. But I bet he learned it in very difficult lessons. But that's what our subject is this morning, the happy Christian. And I want to begin reading again in verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, rowtis, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And we saw that in our last two studies. And how to be filled with the Spirit. If we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit, then it's possible that we can be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of Christ, in the fear of God. Now, it seems evident here that in verses 19 and verse 21, that these verses are very closely linked, vitally linked to verse 18. Verse 19 and through verse 21 is the consequences, is the effects of being filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, you're speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Doesn't that seem like that's a happy person? And why I say this is linked to verse 18, it's obviously linked to it. You can't help but see the correlation between verse 19 verse 18 and verse 19. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves, making melody in your heart to the Lord. A person may be singing with his lips and not be happy and not be content. But when it gets to making melody in your heart, that's something different altogether. There's a happiness denoted there. I think I told you, I was sitting someplace, I don't know where it was, but I was sitting and I heard this, it was above a hum, there was words being sung, I couldn't tell what they were. But I got to looking around and it was a lady sitting on the other side of the room from me by herself. And she was just sitting there and you could see her lips moving and you could almost hear the words. And I just got the feeling this lady is worshiping. You could just feel it. I felt it in my soul. And I got up and moved over next to her and I said, if you'll sing just a little louder, I can understand what you're saying. And her face turned red. And she said, you know, sometimes my heart is so filled with praises of Him, I can't keep them singing. And what she was doing, she was sitting there all by herself, making melody in her heart to the Lord. Not harmony. Harmony takes more than one. But melody denotes one, just one instrument, one voice. And I wish I had never said anything to that dear woman because she quit singing. And I'm sorry I said anything to her. But she was obviously happy, obviously content, making melody in your heart. And verse 20 is obviously linked to verse 18, being filled with the Spirit, because it says you're giving thanks, having a thankful attitude. You know, a person that has a thankful attitude is a happy person. And a person who is not thankful is usually a person who is selfish. It's a person who thinks the world owes them everything and they expect everything, and those people generally are miserable. Be ye filled with the Spirit, giving thanks. Being thankful. Being thankful. And then in verse 21, you can see how this obviously links to being filled with the Spirit. Submitting yourselves. Subjecting yourselves one to another. Subjecting yourselves to God. Submitting yourselves to the will of God. Submitting yourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourself to the authority of Christ. Submitting to the authority of His Word. That's a happy person. Submitting yourself, dear parents, dear husbands, dear employees, submitting yourselves to God first, and then submitting yourselves one to another. I tell you, that's a happy husband who has submitted himself to Christ. And that's a happy wife who has submitted herself to her husband. And that's a happy child who has submitted himself or herself to their parents. And that's a happy employee who has submitted themselves to their employer. What's most of the trouble that you and I are facing in society today? Is it not rebellion? Is it not submitting to authority? And it begins with submitting to the authority of God's holy, inspired Word. And it works its way down, doesn't it? But you see a person who is subjective, he's submissive, and I tell you, that's a happy person. And it vitally links here to verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. Now you say, Bruce, I don't always have a song in my heart. I don't either. I don't either. And I don't always go around with a thankful attitude. Me neither. Me neither. And sometimes I don't want to submit to anybody or anything. I feel this rebellion bubbling up in me against any and all authority. You have trouble with it, and I have trouble with it. But I got a remedy for both of us. Be ye filled with the Spirit. That's it. That's it. I'm not saying these things come automatically. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying they even come automatically when you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit. Nothing comes automatically, does it? But I am saying, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's possible. He has grace enough. He has power enough, strength enough to help us be thankful, to sing, and to submit. He can work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. I will put my Spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statute. And I'm not saying this. I'm not saying that it's automatically, and I'm not saying be filled with the Holy Spirit and you'll never have any more trials in this lifetime. You'll never have any more temptations or any burdens or any distresses. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this. You can't help but see the correlation between being filled with the Holy Spirit and then being a happy Christian. Here it is, I think, in these verses. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you shall be a happy person. There's that potential. And just having the potential for that is a wonderful prospect. I want to be happy. I want to be content. I don't want to be miserable. I don't want to be a Christian and be miserable. I want to be a Christian, and I want to be happy. We're not seeking happiness for happiness' sake. If a man seeks to be happy, he'll be miserable. You don't seek happiness just to be happy. But what these verses here teach us is this: singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord is happiness. That's happiness in and of itself. Being a thankful person is happiness. Submitting to the Lord and submitting one to another, that is happiness. And the things that's contrary to these things is what makes us miserable. So instead of seeking happiness, you know what we ought to seek? To be filled with the Holy Spirit. That should be our aim and our goal. Being Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look at these things right quickly. In verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, what does this mean? Speaking to yourselves. If you read your commentaries and you read your different versions of the Bible, and I've got several different versions of the Bible, and the King James is one I prefer. And I tell you why I prefer it. You look at so many other versions, like the NIV, for example, and they come here and they translate this scripture this way: speaking one to another in psalms and hymns. Now, could that be the meaning of that verse? It could be. But if you go to the parallel passage of this verse over in Colossians 3:16, and you know this, you've read this, Paul quotes this very same passage, but it's just a little bit different. And it says this: let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So the NIV, so they make everything seemingly harmonized, they come here and they translate this scripture, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Here's what I love about the King James Version. It doesn't seek to harmonize all these things. It lets us expand our thoughts and our imaginations, you see. In Colossians 3, it's clear that we're to speak one to another. But here, he says, speaking to yourselves. And he allows us to interpret that this way: speaking to my own soul. And I tell you, here's what's important about this. And here's why I love the King James Bible. I was preaching one time at a place, and I'd preach the message to you: Jesus followed him in the way. Somebody may remember that message. Matthew's account says that Jesus followed him. Jairus, his daughter, was sick, and he came and got the Lord. And the Lord said, I'll go with you to heal her. And Matthew says, Jesus followed him. Another one of the Gospels says Jesus went with him. And I took my text, Jesus followed him, and I was preaching to these people. And I knew they weren't even understanding what I was saying. Because the NIV, the New International Version, said in both places, Jesus went with him. And neither of their places, well, they wanted to harmonize, see, and make it perfectly match in both places. So I lost my text. Jesus wasn't following him at all. He went with him. Well, of course he went with him. But the King James let us broaden our imagination. We see Jesus not only going with him, but we see him following him. And here, we love this. Because we know that while we can speak one to another, we can imagine speaking to ourselves. And I truly think, no matter what the commentator, sometimes you've got to go against these smart people. They're smart, they're brilliant, they know words. But you know, when it comes here, just read verse 19 with me. Speaking to yourselves. Now, if you read that, what would you think? You're talking about speaking to yourself, wouldn't you? Making melody where? Not in somebody else's heart, but yours. This is talking about what we personally do. Being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in your own heart. Well, first of all, then, let's look at this. Let's look at it like some of the commentators say, like our parallel passage says, speaking to one another. That's important. If you want to look at it, fine. That's way. Look at we over in Malachi chapter 3, the last book of the Bible. We know that the Scripture teaches that you and I should speak one to another. Look over in Malachi chapter 3, the very last book in the Old Testament. And look at this. Now, if you know anything about the book of Malachi, you know it was a difficult time for Israel. Things were bad. Things were low. The Lord had begun to bring all these accusations against them that they'd bring in their sick animals for sacrifices. There in verse 5, the cities were full of sorcerers and adulterers and swearers and oppressors and cheating men of their wages. In verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. They robbed him of tithes and offering. They weren't given as God had prospered them. And he says here, look at this, in verse 13, your words have been stout against me, yet you say, what have we spoken against you? In verse 14, you have said, it's vain to serve the Lord, and what profit is it that we've kept His ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And look at verse 15. You call the proud happy, and they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. It was an awful time. And you remember that, what was it, 400 years or more after this time, the visions were ready to stop. God would not speak again for 400 years to give any visions or any more Scripture. I mean, you think you and I live in a bad day. We think we've got some tough times coming. 400 years of never hearing God's voice. This was a bad time. You know a good remedy for bad times? It's in verse 16. Then, in this very bad time, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought on His name. I wonder what they talked to each other about. What do you talk to your dear brothers or sisters about when you get with them? Speaking one to another. And they did. When you get together, brothers and sisters, and please, please, don't forget each other. Stay in contact with each other, especially in the day that we live. Call each other on the phone. Go by and visit each other. I can't visit all of you. I can't talk to all of you. You're too big. Look at the masses of people. I can't keep in contact with all of you, but keep in contact one with another. Can't you see these dear brothers and sisters getting together and talking about the sovereignty of God? Talking about the preciousness of the coming of the Messiah. Talking about their fears. Talking about their trials. Talking about their hopes. Talking about their faith. Talking about their victories. They just got together. They sang. They read Psalms to one another. They just got together and spake. And how often did they do it? Often. Often. One to another. I left here a few Sundays ago, and I was so down because one of you in this congregation this morning, I ain't going to mention which it was, you didn't speak to me all day long. Sunday morning or Sunday evening, in both services, you didn't even acknowledge me. You're so busy running to and fro, you didn't even speak to me. And I went home, and I'm telling you what, I was so down. I was so hurt. And I just got off of it myself, and I thought, what have I done to that poor soul? I've said something to them. I've hurt them some way or another, and now they're certainly offended at me, and I may lose them as a friend. Oh, I went on for 2 or 3 hours, and then you called me. You called me and put my poor burdened mind at rest. I had done nothing, and you hadn't even noticed that you hadn't spoke to me. And I was so comforted. Why? Just be you calling me and speaking to me. That's it. Speaking often one to another. That's important. Don't stop doing it. That's important. Make friends of God's children and stay in contact with God's children. If your life is getting so busy with cares and the things, then get rid of some of the care. Get rid of some of the things. The most important thing that you can do is stay in contact with the Lord's little children. They need you and you need them. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, so much the more as you see the day approaching. But brothers and sisters, let me say this. There's something more important than getting together here this morning and talking with one another. And that's getting together out there. That's talking out there. I have learned a lot. And I appreciate so much our brethren being willing to study and come here and preach and teach to us on Sunday morning. I appreciate that so much. But you know what's more important than that? You know what's more important than that? Out there where we live. Talking to one another. Communicating to one another. Out there where we live. Speaking one to another in psalms and hymns. And secondly, let's look at this in this way then, as I think that our text would teach us, speaking to yourself, speaking to your own soul. David did this a lot, didn't he? He said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" He didn't have anybody else to comfort him. So he comforts himself. Why are you cast down? Why are you so disquieted? Why's all this racket and this rage and turmoil going on in your mind? Why are you cast down? Hope thou in God, soul. I'll yet praise Him who is the help and the help of your countenance. Hope thou in God. Speaking to yourself. I tell you, we get down on ourselves sometimes, don't we? Do you ever get so mad at yourself that you cursed yourself? Job cursed the day he was born. And he cursed the doctor that said, "You got a man child. Curse me that doctor and curse me the day," he said, "that I was born." Boy, we can get down on ourselves, can't we? Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." That's all right. That's what we are. But listen. Would you talk to somebody else the way you talk to yourself sometimes? Don't be so hard on yourself you forget to encourage your own soul. You need encouragement. Speak to yourself. Let me tell you a story about David. David, bless his heart, he was a man after God's own heart. But boy, he got in a fix one time. You read about this in 1 Samuel 27, 28, 29, 30. King Saul, David lived in the cave. There's 600 men came down and joined themselves to David. Some of them were some sorry rascals. Some of them were some good fellows. But he had 600 men, their wives and their children. And Saul, King Saul, ran David and his men out of Israel and ran him down to the country of the Philistines. The Philistines didn't like him, so they ran him out of their camp and their country, and he had to go back up to Ziklag. One of his king friends gave him this little town of Ziklag to dwell in. That's the last place he had for refuge. David and his 600 men and their wives and their children and all their cattle and stuff was there at Ziklag. David got back up to Ziklag when the Philistines ran him off. Amalekites have invaded the south and they burned Ziklag. They took all their wives and all their children and all their stuff. And when the men come up there to that little town where they lived in, everything was burned and everything was gone. Abigail, remember sweet Abigail, David's wife, they took her with her. And boy, they were mad at David. The scripture says they were so grieved that their wives and children and sons were gone that they said, we're going to stone David. I mean, he had came to the end of his road. And here's what the scripture says he did. In 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. He spoke to himself. He began to speak to his soul that was full of turmoil. And he says, wait now, soul. Wait a minute. Hope thou in God. Sure, things look bad. But I'll yet praise Him who is the help of my countenance. The Lord is my shepherd. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Don't you think he said that? Don't you think he encouraged himself in that song? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. David, who does your help come from? From the Lord. Who is that who made heaven? He encouraged himself in the Lord. The heathen came to David and they said, David, where's your God now? What's he doing? Look what an awful shape you're in. Where is your God, David? David said, where he's always been. He's in heaven. What's he doing there? Whatever he pleased. Wouldn't that encourage you? Wouldn't that encourage you? God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in time of trouble. He said, therefore, in Psalm 62 and verse 5, my soul, O my soul, wait thou only upon God. From Him comes everything that you need, everything that you desire, everything that you hope for comes from your God. Therefore, wait upon Him. He encouraged himself. He spoke to himself in psalms. Do you ever do that when you're down? When you're afraid? When you're discouraged and you're failed? You ever quote psalms to yourself? Do that. Do that. And hymns. He spake to himself in psalms and hymns. You know the first hymn that we ever have recorded? I'm sure it wasn't the first one that was sang. But the first recorded hymn is in Exodus chapter 15. That's the first time we ever read of a hymn being sung. And here's what it said. Do you remember the occasion? The Lord had just brought back the waters and drowned all the Egyptians. And here stood the Israelites looking out over that sea and nothing was left. They were free. The Lord had delivered them from their enemy. And here's what it said. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel unto the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has He thrown unto the sea. They sang. They sang. Sang a hymn. Sang a psalm and hymn. And what else did Paul say? Speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. Here's a good spiritual song. When I can read my title clear to mansions in the sky, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes. Speaking to yourself. Talk to yourself. If somebody sees you doing that, they may think you're crazy. But that's all righty. I'd rather be comforted and have people think I'm crazy than have them think otherwise and be tormented in my soul. Speak to yourself. Speak to yourself. Brother Donnie Bell told me one time he was going up through the woods and he used to preach to himself. We talked to ourselves. He preached to himself. He's going up through the woods on this old log road in his truck and he's just preaching away.
this is the way he's doing. He said, I'll just preach it away. And he looked over there and there stood two farmers looking right at him. He said, I looked at them, waved at them, just kept on preaching. He said, come on. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's the first thing. I got to hurry. I'm going to keep you too long. I'm going to weary you. In verse 20, right quickly, look at this. Speaking to yourselves, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And the second point is this. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. William Hendrickson had something to say about this verse and what it means to be thankful and to be given thanks. And this is what he said. Let me quote him. Thanksgiving is a grateful acknowledgement of benefits received. And it presupposes that the person who engages in this activity recognizes three things. Now listen to that. If you're a thankful person, you recognize these three things. Number one, that the blessing which you enjoy are bestowed upon you so that in all honesty, you cannot in and of yourself take credit for it. If you're truly thankful, it's because you realize that this blessing was bestowed upon you freely. That's why you're thankful. That's why you're thankful. And secondly, he said this, that it is totally, that you are totally unworthy of them. It is indeed a blessing. And it's an unmerited, unearned blessing. And thirdly, he says this, and since we're to give thanks always, he said this, that these benefits that God bestows are great and they're many. If we're to give thanks always, then the benefits, these blessings must be many. Must be all kinds of them. When are we to be thankful? When are we to give thanks? Look at this. You're in verse 19. In verse 20. Giving thanks when? Always. Giving thanks always. 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 Did you wake up this morning? Of course you did. You should have given thanks right there. Did you sleep any at all? Did you rest any at all? You should have given thanks right there. You have the desire. You have the ability, you have the means to get out of bed, to get yourself ready, and come to the worship. You should be thankful. You can sit and participate in worship and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You should be so thankful. We'll leave here, we'll eat a meal, we'll come back and worship again, and then we'll leave and we'll get in our fine cars. We'll go to our nice houses. We should be so thankful. When should we be thankful? Always. Are you here this morning and you know the Lord? Are you saved? Oh, you should be so thankful. You're here this morning and you're not saved? You should be so thankful. Because you're here in this world and not in hell. You should be so thankful. When we're filled with the Spirit, we can constantly be reminded of what a thankful people we should be always. That's what the Spirit does. He reminds us, be thankful. You know the first step to reprobation is an unthankful heart. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they. Therefore, their foolish hearts was darkened. Unthankful attitude is the first step to reprobation. Be thankful. Always. What should we be thankful for? Look at this. Giving thanks always for all things. Everything. You ain't going to do this from your heart if you ain't filled with the Spirit. Only He can enable us to be thankful for everything. And why should we be thankful, brothers and sisters, for everything? Because all things work together for good. If everything is working together for good, then why not be thankful for everything? Well, I tell you, the story of Joseph is one of the best illustrations of why you and I should be thankful for everything. Can you imagine how awful it was, what a bad thing it was for Joseph's brethren to sell him as a slave down into Egypt? That was awful. When he got down there, he was accused of trying to rape his boss's wife. They put him in jail for 2 years or more. Put him in the stocks. That was awful. That was awful. But you know something? Without that, he wouldn't have been on the throne down in Egypt. There would have been no corn for Jacob's son to go down and buy. All those lives that were saved would not have been saved without these bad things happening to Joseph. Be thankful for everything. You ladies make a cake. You ever make a cake from scratch? I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand because most cakes now are made out of butter. There's some of you, though. There's some of you. You can bake from scratch. Could you imagine getting all your ingredients out to make a cake? And you take your box of soda out, baking soda, and you taste of that. And you say, well, ain't no way I'm putting that in there. This is awful. So you set it aside. Then you get you some flour. And do you ever try to eat flour of itself? Try that sometime. Get a good glass of milk because you've got to wash it down. You ain't going to eat that, are you? That old dry powder, so you set it aside. You break a couple eggs and you put them in the bowl. And what's those little white things in there? I really don't want to eat that. That's awful. So you pour your eggs out. And after a while, what you got left? Well, you got your milk. That's good. You've got some sugar. That's good. Maybe some vanilla flavor or some other flavor. That's good. But try sticking that in the oven and baking it and see how that comes out. What is it that makes a cake good? It's the balance, isn't it? You've got all your stuff combined together. And then when you bake it, it comes out fine. Now, if you and I were in control of this life, we'd have all good things. But how would that come out? We'd be so proud, wouldn't we? We'd never pray. We wouldn't need to pray. We wouldn't need faith. It's these things that we think are evil. It's these awful trials. These awful things happening in our family and in the church. And people getting killed out on the highway. Our friends having cancer and dying, all these awful things. It puts balance in our life. And I tell you, when God mixes these things up, and when He puts them in His oven and bakes it, then it all comes out just right. And then you can say, Lord, thank You for that trial. Thank You for that heartache. Thank You even for when I fail. Thank You for a loss of a loved one, a friend. Thank You. Thank You for everything. Being thankful always for all things. I'm lonely a lot, and you are too. Especially you mothers and you wives, you stay home sometimes, and you get lonely, don't you? See, loneliness is a dreadful thing, isn't it? You get lonely in your soul. You're off at work. Go off to work. Or you go off fishing. And there you sit. You're lonely. In your soul, you're lonely. And that's an awful trial. That in itself would get you down after a while. But thank You, Lord, that I'm lonely. I flee to Christ when I'm lonely. I find a companion in Him when I'm lonely. To whom should we give thanks? Look at it again in verse 20. To God and the Father to God and the Father. We give thanks unto Him. Why do we do that? We'll look over in chapter 1 and verse 3. Here's why we give thanks to God and the Father. Because all blessings come from Him. All benefits come from God. Look what He says in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And He said there in verse 13 and verse 14 that He's called us and we trusted in Him. And in verse 14, He sealed us, verse 13 and 14, He sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise for how long? Until the redemption of the purchased possession. He chose us in Christ. He's given us all these spiritual blessings. He's called us to believe the gospel, and He sealed us until the day of redemption. From first to last, He's blessed us with grace. Isn't that a wonderful thing? How would you live in regards to being thankful? How would it affect you if you could live in the faith that the eternal God has fixed your everlasting happiness? How would that affect you? That no matter what you suffer in this world, whatever may come upon you, it just doesn't matter because God Himself in His eternal decrees has fixed your everlasting happiness. Oh, wouldn't that make you thankful to Him? All your doubting, all your fears, all your trials will not change this fact. God has fixed it. Oh, render thanks unto God and the Father. And how? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, this changes everything, doesn't it? Oh, when you mention Christ, when you bring Him into the equation, that changes everything. Brother Donnie's often using the illustration, you mark a million zeros, and what have you got? You've got nothing. But you put one in front of that, and what you got? You got a million. You got something then. We've got nothing without Christ. But with Christ, we got everything. He changes everything. There was nothing but God's frown. But now, God's smile. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was nothing but darkness. Now there's light. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was nothing but us facing the cold, stern justice of God. But now there's mercy because of Christ. There was guilt, there was condemnation, but now because of Christ, there is forgiveness of all our sins. With Christ, in Christ, because of Christ, we have everything, everything. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is there in Hebrews chapter 13, where we're told to go without the camp bearing His reproach, the reproach of Christ. Here we have no continuing city. We seek one to come. Let us therefore offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And how did He say to do that? By Him. By Him. God will receive our worship. He'll receive our thanksgiving, our praise through Him, because of Him. He won't receive anything apart from Christ. Old Scott used to say He won't speak to us. He won't let us speak to Him apart from Christ. Everything's because of Christ, in Christ, through Christ, by Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's why He's so precious, ain't it? That's why He's precious. And I'll save this last one for some time else, but let me just say this. Submitting yourselves one to another. And that's the problem in our day. That's the problem, ain't it? In our school system, our legal system, the church, not wanting to submit to God's authority to his rule. May the Lord bless his word. Let's pray.